Blessed be the name of the one holy and living God. Amen. I can't hear that gospel reading without having God spell like burst from me. So I got to sing a little bit. You are the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. But if that salt has lost its flavor, it ain't got much in its favor. You can't have that fault and be the salt of the earth. So let your light so shine before men. Let your light so shine so that we might know some kindness again. We all need help to feel fine. Let's have some wine. You are the salt of the earth. And you are the light of the world. Salt and light. A couple of questions come to mind for me when I ponder salt and light these days. Are we talking LED, fluorescent, incandescent? Is it solar powered, environmentally friendly, or a waste of energy? And being salt, are we iodized or Himalayan pink, Celtic gray salt, fleur de sel, or so on down the foodie salts that are available these days? And can any of these salts actually lose their saltiness? Can you lose your saltiness? Can you quench the light that is within you? My grandmother was a great cook. I do not recall ever eating anything that she made that was anything but delicious, perfectly seasoned, even when it had things in it that I did not like. I came to love squash casserole and chicken spaghetti with lots of slimy things in it and cauliflower, among other things, as a small child because of my grandmother. I have not gifted my children with the love of those things just yet. Her seasonings were not complicated or extravagant, but among them was definitely salt. Not too much salt, but nothing was bland. The thing was, however, that no one was allowed in my grandmother's kitchen, at least none of us children. It was a small kitchen. But mostly, I think it was her peaceful place. Even when my mother was growing up, my grandmother never brought her into the kitchen or taught her how to cook. She didn't show her how to make her magic. Thankfully, she did write down many of her recipes, but that is not the same thing as cooking alongside or being guided in the ways of cooking. My grandmother did not share the gospel of cooking. She didn't, while she salted things, she didn't share her saltiness. She didn't share her light with the next generation. She put it under a bushel basket or behind a kitchen door, if you will. Salt and light. Despite the flux in medical advice about how much or how little salt one should consume, or culinary debates around saltiness, back in the day, in Jesus' day, salt was a source not only of flavor, but was used to preserve food, to purify and to clean food, and it was an important source of healing. According to Amy Lindeman Allen, salt was, to put it succinctly, a necessary element of life. And by extension, salt was a symbolic bond of the necessary relationship between God and the people of God. Caroline Lewis said salt and light are metaphors for vigilance. They are rarely, if ever, not present, and if they are absent, something is drastically wrong. Both salt and light are necessary for health and for life. You are salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Simple and obvious as it may sound, salt does no good if it is kept in the salt cellar. And light does no good if it is not lit or turned on. Salt and light do not live into their calling unless they are dispersed, shared, set free. We prayed this morning, set us free, O God, from the bondage of our sins, and give us the liberty of that abundant life which you have made known to us in your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. You are salt and you are light. You are very salty and enlightened people. So don't take the rest of what I say as a judgment or a statement about what you are or are not doing. They are merely questions to invite us into pondering and prayer about what and how we use the salt and the light with which we have been infused. In what ways are you, as salt and light, hindered from seasoning the world around you, prevented or refrain from seasoning the world around you? In what ways are you, as light, hindered or prevented by your own sins or the sins of others? In what ways do you refrain from sharing, from enlightening the world in which we live? From sharing the abundance of life? In the language of Isaiah, in what ways do you hold back from shouting and lifting up your voice like a trumpet? In what ways are you hindered by others, or do you hold back? Do we fast, as Isaiah would put it, from God's calling to loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? In what ways do we not share our bread with the hungry? In what ways do we close our doors to the homeless poor and leave them naked? Again, this is not judgment. This is a question. Because we can all always be saltier and lighter and brighter in the way that we live our lives. That portion of Isaiah that we read today was written in a time of uncertainty. Those things that people had come to depend on, political entities, religious institutions, had lost their toehold, their place of prominence, their respectability, their dependability. Isaiah's day was not so vastly different from our uncertain times. It is important for us to heed the call of the prophet. Even Jesus in the gospel reading pointed us back to the law and the prophets to fulfill the commandments. That is, to listen to our history, to heed the call of the prophets, to pay attention to what we might learn from the past, and to share what we have learned with the next generation so we do not repeat again and again the error of our ways. Sometimes churches and institutions can do a good job of talking about hard issues. We like to talk. But we often skirt around some of the deeper issues, or we whisper them for fear of causing offense. Those places of hurt and brokenness, those wounds that fester beneath the surface, often stay beneath the surface. We often gloss over the cracks in our foundations and the struggles of our past so as not to dwell on the negative. And often we run the risk of being a lot of talk and little or no action. Again, not judgment, just invitation to quander. Are we a lot of prayers that render little or true transformation of heart and mind and spirit? A lot of resources and a lot of energy spent preserving these resources, but to what end? Are we doing more talking, more than talking, more than praying, more than keeping our facilities in good condition, more than enjoying company with like-minded folk and feeding our own? Are we living out the gospel? Are we being the salt of the earth and the light to the world? Indeed, there's something to be said for what Søren Kierkegaard said. Life can only be understood backwards, but it must be lived forwards. How can we learn from those around us? How can we learn from those who walked before us? How can we share what we have learned with those who come after us? How can we not hold our salt back or our light back the way my grandmother did all of her good cooking? Oh, that we might hold our heads up with honor, that we might let the light shine, that we might lift our hearts with a sense of belovedness, belonging, and hopefulness. Embrace the present and look into the promise. Look to the promise, the vast possibilities of the future, and that abundant life we encounter in Jesus as we seek and serve Christ in all persons, as we strive to love our neighbors as ourselves. Oh, that we might share the salt and shine the light that all the world needs in order to flourish and to know the abundance of hope. So let your light so shine before men. Let your light so shine, so that they might know some kindness again. We all need help to feel fine. Amen.